Greetings. I've come in today from the lake, and my allergies are kind of in high gear, so my voice is a little scratchy, but I hope it'll be clear enough. Last week, Alan Effa recounted the story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. God was clearly on the move, opening the eyes of his followers to larger horizons. The kingdom was bigger than they had imagined and was now open to at least one non-Jewish foreigner to have unrestricted access to the Christian faith. Today continues in much the same theme. In this episode, the Apostle Peter is about to undergo what a friend of mine called a stretching experience. Our passage today is very short and clearly part of a longer story, so I think it merits a prequel, a backstory, to help us understand the situation. It begins with Cornelius, a centurion residing in Caesarea, an important port city on the shores of the Mediterranean. Cornelius was a devout man who feared God, gave alms to the poor, and spent a lot of time in prayer. He had been attracted to the faith of the Jewish people, but as a Gentile, he couldn't be included in either the faith of the Jewish people or the new faith of the Christian church without becoming Jewish first. One day in the afternoon, he had a vision in which an angel instructed him to call for Simon Peter, who was staying in Joppa at the home of another Simon. Now, if I were praying and an angel appeared, I think I would be astonished, frightened, amazed, terrified, completely paralyzed. We are told that Cornelius was initially afraid, but he was a Roman soldier, familiar with giving and taking orders, and he immediately called two of his slaves and another devout soldier and sent them off to Joppa with instructions to bring Peter back with them. Now, it's about 60 kilometers from Caesarea to Joppa, and according to a Google search, one author who was commenting on this passage said it would take 12 and a half hours at a leisurely pace. That's almost 5 kilometers an hour for a whole day. I don't actually consider that a leisurely pace. In any event, the three men set off. Meanwhile, the scene shifts to Joppa, to a rooftop, perhaps an oceanfront property, where Peter was praying. He was hungry and the meal was still in preparation. He too had a vision. A large white sheet was lowered from the sky, and in it were birds and reptiles and many other four-footed creatures. Then Peter heard a voice that said to him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." "Never, never, never," thought Peter, who had never eaten anything that was profane or unclean. But the voice was insistent. "What God has made clean, you must not call profane." Peter, however, needed a little more persuasion. After all, he'd followed the Jewish food rules his whole life. Luke tells us that this conversation was repeated 3 times, and then the sheet and all the creatures were taken back up to heaven. I imagine, Peter thought, what a strange vision. I can't quite decide what to make of it. Then before he could decipher the whole meaning of it, the three men sent by Cornelius appeared at the gate. The Spirit instructed him, "Now get up, go down, and go with them without hesitation, for I have sent them." Never argue with the Spirit of God is always a good plan. So Peter went down and basically asked the men, "Why are you here?" They told him about Cornelius and his angelic visitor. They were to bring him back so that Cornelius and the household could hear what Peter had to say. Peter invited them in and gave them lodging. No other comment was made by Luke, but this was quite a momentous event. Three Gentiles invited in to stay in a Jewish home. This was not allowed under Jewish law, and more surprises were ahead. The next day, Peter and six members of the Joppa church went with the three men sent by Cornelius and headed off to Caesarea. Another 12 and a half hour leisurely walk, I guess. Meanwhile, Cornelius had not been idle. He had gathered relatives and friends. So by the time the Peter entourage arrived, there was quite a crowd of both Jews and Gentiles. Peter must have continued mulling during the walk, because now he seemed to have grasped a wider understanding of his vision. He said, "You yourself know that it is unlawful for a Jew to associate with or to visit a Gentile. But God has shown me I should not call anyone profane or unclean." That was quite a progressive interpretation that now extended beyond the food laws to the laws of association. Then Peter asked, "Why am I here?" Cornelius explained his experience with the angel, which he said had happened 4 days previously. As an aside, despite what that online author told me, I think the trips took a little longer than 1 day. Cornelius finished his account of the angelic visit and concluded with, "So now all of us here in the presence of God to listen to all that the Lord has commanded you to say." I imagine that a little silence ensued. Then all eyes turned expectantly to Peter. He began his sermon with one of his new insights. "I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him." Then he continued and told them the good news of Jesus Christ. He got to a point in his discourse where he said, "All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." And then there was this magnificent interruption, and we reach today's passage. "So Peter was still speaking when the Holy Spirit fell upon all who heard the word." The Jewish church people who had accompanied Peter were all astounded that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles. It was indisputable because these people were speaking in tongues and were praising God. And then a verse to echo what happened to Philip and the Ethiopian. "Can anyone withhold the water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" And I'm sure the answer was, "Of course, we can't withhold baptism." And so they at once were baptized with water, after they'd already been baptized with the Holy Spirit. The passage concludes with an invitation for Peter to stay for several days. I imagine that was quite a visit. Peter had a lot to think about. When Ryan invited me to preach on this Sunday, I looked the passage up right away in the lectionary, and I must say I laughed. My spidey senses were tingling. We had just that week voted to continue to move this church further along the pathway to radical hospitality, reconciliation, justice, inclusivity. And along comes this passage. Amazing, I thought. Now, there were some losses incurred by our decision. As it has been said, every new beginning always includes an ending of some sort. Some relationships changed, both for the organization and for individuals. It had been an emotionally draining time for our ministry team, the council, and many of you. For Peter and friends, they had been stretched in so many ways. In less than a week, they had been told to disregard previous food laws and to have fellowship with Gentiles, staying in the same homes with them and presumably eating with them. When you invite someone into your house and have a meal together, things have moved from casual acquaintance to a much more significant relationship. And there was more. They had witnessed a lavish outpouring of the Holy Spirit on this assembled group of Gentiles. They hadn't had instruction in the creeds of the church. They hadn't been vetted by a committee of church elders. They hadn't, as far as we know, even made a profession of faith. The Holy Spirit was indeed on the move, and the good news was that the kingdom's horizons had grown enormously. I think part of the good news for us, that as we have leaned into the promptings of the Spirit and made this choice to move forward, we have acquired new partners, new energy, and an enlarged vision for what it means to be the church in this place and this time. So praise the Lord. I don't know if we've celebrated our move yet, but I think it's something to be very excited about. It's scary and exhilarating at the same time, but I can feel the challenge, the hopefulness, the possibilities that lay ahead for us. The Spirit is on the move. I hope you can feel it too. So as we get ready to move to the Lord's table today, I encourage you to be open, to be stretched a little by the Spirit. May you hear the invitation to be moved out of your comfort zone. What might you be invited to leave behind to make space for new insights, better understandings, new friendships? May you travel a little lighter, discarding old ways of thinking, anything that may not serve you well in this journey ahead. With the Spirit's power and God's unfailing love, and the assurance of your salvation through Jesus, you will surely flourish and grow in your love of God and your love of neighbor. So blessings to you all as the adventure continues. Amen.